bringing us together in health. Discover how at hgbhealth.com.
Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
That's the worst fight song in college football.
Oh, this is the way you sing it. My goodness.
Sucks.
We got that cease and desist order from Tennessee to keep you from singing
Rocky
Top.
I was talking to Benton here. He's talking about going to Watering Hole afterwards.
Yes.
My opinion is.
Yes.
Sports bars have a whole new way about them now, the smoke-free environment.
You don't smell like an ashtray when you leave?
You are going to see people going to sports bars that never went before. And for you smokers out there who, you know, who get stuck on that ridiculous habit and you have to stand outside, go stand outside and take a puff. But, man, it's going to be great. And there's some great, great venues to watch sports bars.
Terrific
around.
In mid-Michigan. Absolutely.
There's a lot of them. Yeah. And I'm telling you what, I think that's going to be really ramping up this year in 2010 with a smoke-free environment.
You're a Twitter guy, right?
I'm more of an FB guy.
All right.
Facebook.
Well, Larry Lage just
texted
a message and wanted to be sure people that we remind people
that
you can follow him on Twitter at Larry Lage, and he'll be sending updates on Rich Rodriguez's contract status throughout the first half of this game. And also that you can follow.
He thinks he's going to survive at 6-6.
There you go. And also you can get all the information you want on college football at the new website, aptop25.com. aptop25.com, and you can follow along throughout the game.
I'll tell you what, there is so much information out there to be an expert in college football. It's the barriers are so low right now, and you don't have to, you know, there's the paid sites, and there's the unpaid sites, and there's information. It's sensory overload right now, and it's just great for college football.
Before we do our predictions and standings, projections, I want to mention one thing, because Scott's been working very hard at lining up guests. Scott, we have Keith Jackson next week. He's going to be with us on this show, right?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Keith Jackson will be with us 2 weeks on the 18th.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. 2 weeks, Keith Jackson will be with us. And they have started the countdown for Big Ten icons. Number 50 was Iowa wrestler and current coach Tom Brands. Number 49 in history was Penn State women's volleyball star Megan Hodge, four-time All-American, repeat national champion. Number 48 was Drew Brees, maybe the best quarterback the Big Ten has ever seen, one of the top three, I would think, with Chuck Long and Otto Graham. Number 47 was Chris Spielman, not good enough to be a first-round draft pick, but about as good a linebacker as you would hope to see.
One of my favorite all-time players at the college and pro level.
And today they announced two more, number 46 and number 45. This morning, number 46 is LeVar Arrington, Penn State linebacker.
Holy terror, number 11 for the Nittany Lions.
And Rod Woodson.
Great player on some pathetic teams.
Rod Woodson was an unbelievable hurdler, an Olympic-caliber hurdler. And Barry Sanders absolutely abused him when they played in the pros.
And I remember him at Purdue and those horrible teams playing both ways. He did the running back thing.
Yeah.
As well as DB.
Yeah. He played the old Oak and Bucket game against Indiana and basically did not leave the field. Played both ways. It was his last chance, and he wanted to do that.
Felt sorry for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
All right. Are you ready for this? You got your standings?
No.
You're not.
I'll go along with this little exercise, although I'm going to admit I'm just not very good at predicting how some of these other teams are going to do, but I'll do my best how the Big Ten's going to end up. Is that what you want to talk about first?
Exactly. That's what we want to talk about. All right. Let's start a reverse countdown. Give us your teams from 11 to 1.
Okay, I'm taking Indiana and Illinois to tie at 1-7 at the bottom of the heap. I think Ron Zook is. I think they're going to get smacked around by Missouri today, and he knows it's over with. And I think the team's going to quit on him. So I have Indiana and Illinois tied for last at 1-7. Do you want me to go through the whole thing, or how do you want to do it? Or are you going to do it?
We're going to do. You have those two teams at last. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. I have a tie for last at 1-7. I have Minnesota and Indiana.
Okay.
1-7, tied for 10th and 11th. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Then I have Minnesota and Northwestern. You know, how much I think about Pat Fitzgerald. I think he's done a great job there. I think they're going to struggle this year, looking at some of their personnel. I have them both, and I have another tie, Northwestern and Minnesota at 3-5.
Okay, well, I have a tie as well there. I have Purdue and Illinois at 3-5,
okay,
tied for 8th and 9th. All right, and then moving up in the standings.
I have another tie.
Okay.
I have Purdue at 4-4, and I have Penn State at 4-4. I think the Nittany Lions are going to slip a little notch here and with a freshman quarterback. So that's what I have kind of in the middle of the pack of the Big Ten at 4-4.
Ooh, this means you've got Michigan in the first division. This is like doing the NBA draft lottery where you see that a team is still progressing, right? So you got Michigan.
Well, actually, I have I have them listed up above. They're also 4-4, but I put them at the top of the heap.
Well, are they in this tie? Or
they're not in this tie, yeah.
Okay.
I have them at 4-4.
Mediocrity. So you have them 4-4, and you have them winning all four of the non-conference games?
Well, I have them going, 6-0, and then going.
You got them 8-4.
Yeah.
Okay. I have Michigan also 4-4, tied in the middle of the pack with Penn State and Northwestern.
Okay.
All right. In that grouping. And so I have those teams bunched in the middle. And, okay, we're up to fourth place.
Okay, I got Sparty there, which is, I hate to admit, they're going to be 5-3.
Same as I have. Tom, this is ridiculous. We're thinking much too much alike. I have Michigan State 5-3, 9-3.
And I also have somebody tie with them at 5-3. Whiskey.
Ooh, you have Wisconsin losing three times.
Yeah.
Okay. I have Wisconsin tying Ohio State for second place at 6-2.
Okay. Speaking of 6-2, in second place, I have the Iowa Hawkeyes.
That must mean you have the Ohio State Buckeyes, number one.
Much as I hate to admit, I think they're going to be in the national title game. They're going to be
8-0. Ooh. I have Iowa first at 7-1, 11-1 overall. Do you see a time when Ohio State would not be projected to finish in the top three?
in the top three in the Big Ten? As long as Trestle's there and, as long as Michigan doesn't make a monstrous move or Nebraska starts getting recruits here in the Midwest, I think Ohio State's got that stronghold of their core, a lot of their linebacking core, D-line guys in Ohio. They're getting wide receivers from Florida now. Mm-hmm. They're getting some national flavor as well as the core competency in the state of Ohio. I think they're going to be in the top three for a long, long time, as much as I hate to admit that.
All right. Is there any college football program in the country that you would project would have more victories over the next 20 years than Ohio State? Considering the caliber of the conference, I mean, you could say Florida.
Well, no,
or
I got Texas, and that's Texas. Another one of my least favorite programs.
Yeah.
Because of the caliber of play in the state of Texas, because I'm aware of how they do it so early in the game with that junior day. They get all the recruits a year and a half out. They're pretty much nailed down, and they're getting the pick of the litter in the state of Texas.
Right.
And the fact that they're in their conference, they got pretty much a stronghold there. And they got Oklahoma to contend with, but just one other program that matches them.
I hate to agree with you again, but, you think about the California schools, USC, they've got a lot of competition out there, and they've got some other issues now. Florida's got a deal with Florida State and Miami we've seen over the years where they've come up and down in peaks and valleys. I can't think of two programs that have more dominance and a rosier future than Ohio State and Texas.
I'm serious. I'm right with. I don't like agreeing with you. This is kind of awkward for us. We're agreeing so much in this last five minutes here, but that's just the way it is. And they got the infrastructure. They got great university. They got big universities. They got 50,000 enrollments. They got a lot of identity, a lot of alumni base, a lot of fan base. In the state of Ohio, I mean, that's the team of the state. So, no, it's not going to change. But I don't see anybody else in that because Florida has to compete so much with the other SEC teams. Alabama, I think, is going to have a few knocks here and there. I don't think they're going to dominate like Ohio State and Texas on a consistent basis for the next 15, 20 years. And that's getting way ahead of the game, but that's just the way I see it.
All right. Who are your offensive and defensive players of the year in the Big Ten? you know what the standings are.
Well, I hate to say it. This is really scary. They're both going to come from Michigan State.
Oh, my God. Kirk Cousins and Greg Jones?
Yeah.
And you've got Michigan State losing three games?
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you what. If Michigan State loses three games, they won't have both the offensive and defensive players.
Well, I just think those two guys are ahead of the – you know, Greg Jones is going to be a slam dunk defensive player of the year. I think he's going to have a
great year.
Yeah, I really do. Now, some people see some weaknesses in his – does he – you know, he's not the most perfect linebacker, but I just think that those two Kirk Cousins is so focused and dedicated and such a great leader out there. And I just think he's going to get the votes for it.
I think Kirk Cousins is going to be the Big Ten Player of the Year in 2011. And I think they're both going to have very good years. Michigan State good enough to finish 5-3, 9-3.
You think it's going
to
be TP?
No. I think my Offensive Player of the Year is going to be John Clay, the running back from Wisconsin. My Defensive Player of the Year is going to be Adrian Claiborne from Iowa.
Yeah,
I think the Iowa defense is going to be amazing. And maybe I'm nuts about this, but you got to show me one more time on Terrell Pryor. And I don't count the win the other night.
Well, and then the Rose Bowl, you know, everybody's going to get twisted up into that.
Yeah.
You know, and when Brent Musburger makes these declarations of coming out party and this and that and the other thing, I don't totally buy into that. I think he's an amazing athlete, but as far as the consistency as a quarterback and a leader, that's why I have Kirk Cousins over him as far as the Big Ten, Big Ten Player of the Year and first team, obviously, in the Big Ten.
You know, I remember a long discussion we had with Dave Benton last year about this. And Terrell Pryor, last November 1st, Ohio State, remember when they lost to Purdue?
Mm-hmm.
People were saying, you know, this guy, he's never going to be a big-time quarterback. What happened? Suddenly he's a Heisman Trophy co-favorite.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he does some amazing stuff. I think that the stiff arm that he does, he'll take on a linebacker,
right?
You know, 250-pound linebacker who's coming at him, you know, with great football speed, and then push him to the side like cartoon like,
right?
I mean, that's when I get awestruck by Terrell Pryor, but it's not the consistency for 3 hours,
right,
that I see as a quarterback that I see in Kirk Cousins.
I want to see what he does against Miami first. Okay, if he does what he did against Oregon, what he did the other night in that game against the Hurricanes, then sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, I'm not quite on board.
Right. See, Michigan State, the reason I think that those two are going to have outstanding seasons individually, but I think Michigan State's secondary is going to let them down.
Yeah.
And that's why they're going to lose three games.
Well, we'll see how good Michigan State's secondary is and if Chris L. Rucker is improved and some of these other, getting Johnny Adams back. Missed all last year.
Now, speaking of predictions, who do you have? Do you want to go into that right now? I mean, I pretty much laid out my Michigan schedule. They're going to win their first six, including Sparty. Then they go 2-4 with losses.
Let's go do that right now, and then we'll do our week
predictions. I got going
6-0
real quick. Yep. And then they lose back-to-back Iowa and Penn State. They're going to lose in that Saturday night game, and they're going to beat Purdue and Illinois, and then they're going to drop Wisconsin and Ohio State the last two. So they're in kind of packs, losses back-to-back losses. Michigan has losses homecoming to Iowa. That's going to hurt. And then at Happy Valley, and then they drop the final two with Wisconsin at home and Ohio State on the road.
All right. I think Michigan's going to finish 7-5. And I can tell you two games I think they're definitely going to lose. I can tell you three games I think they're definitely going to lose. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose next week at Notre Dame because it's the first road game. Notre Dame will have shaken the bugs out. Notre Dame will be ready for Michigan next week, and I think Michigan's going to lose in South Bend. I think Michigan's going to lose to Iowa because Iowa's just that much of a better team. And I think they're going to lose to Ohio State, of course. Now, that means they're going to have two more losses out of three games, either Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin. They're going to win one of those three. And I don't know which one it is. It could be Michigan State. Could be the Michigan State game. It could be Wisconsin. Play Wisconsin in Ann Arbor, correct? Late in the season.
Yeah.
Or they could go in and catch Penn State napping. So one of those three games, I think Michigan will have one signature win, just enough to keep Rich Rodriguez in Ann Arbor.
And now we're going to go to break, and I'll tell you how the Sparty is going to do as far as their breakdown on their record after this break on the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.
I'm Jackie from Holt Senior Care and Rehab Center. Our single-floor facility is focused on helping Lansing area families with physical, occupational, and speech therapy.